Hold your Bibles up in the air. Wave them in the devil's face. Let them know you mean business. Say, this is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
And God's Word, is
devil destruction power.
With my Bible, I can defeat the devil
every single day.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
The Word of God.
And God's Word
is the revelation of His will for my life. Whatever it says I am, that's what I am. Whatever it says I can do, I can do it, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Whatever it says I have, I claim it by faith in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear your word, to teach your word, and to preach your word. Father God, we ask that by the power of your precious Holy Spirit, that your people will receive it, it will take root, and it will grow in Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless Amen. You. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. We are continuing our series on why hell? Eternal damnation in a loving God. Glory to God. I know y'all about fed up with this. You ready to go to heaven, ain't you? I know. We're gonna get to heaven, but we got to go through hell just a little bit longer, all right? Because you've got to understand a couple of things, which I'm trying to point out in this series. First thing you got to understand is the strong need to evangelize. And again, let me emphasize that we are not trying to evangelize just to fill this church, praise God. You know, the people you talk to may not necessarily come to the Lord immediately. I've been out there on the streets. I've shared the gospel with people. Some people will pray with me just so I can leave them alone so they can go back to doing whatever they're doing. They'll say the sinner's prayer, and then they'll go right back into the same bar that they came out of that I told them about before. Matter of fact, some of them probably get more drunk after that. Some people will argue and fuss with you. Don't waste your time fussing with people, praise God. Share the truth and move on. But the thing is that you are out there sharing because you don't want people going to that horrible place, because God doesn't want people going to that horrible place. Praise God.
Amen.
Last week we told you how God's heart breaks by the fact that people are dying and going to hell without accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
Amen.
But the only agent by which He has to reach those lost people is you in me, because God has placed us in this world and He has given us His authority, praise God.
Amen.
When Jesus died and then rose again, He said, all authority has been given in heaven and earth has been given unto me. He says, therefore you go and make disciples of all nations. He said, now you go and preach the gospel to every creature, praise God.
Amen.
And then He said, those who believe shall not be, those who believe and are baptized shall be saved. Those who believe not shall be damned. But you got to tell them so that they can hear the word of God, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So people will come to know Jesus as we tell them the truth. And you got to, and as C.A. Spurgeon once said, if people are going to go to hell, make sure that they have to jump over you to get there, praise God.
Amen.
So it's very important that you understand the reality of hell so that you can understand the vital need to share the good news of Jesus. See, I think the problem with many Christians, especially those who are part of churches like ours that are charismatic, word, faith, whatever you call us, a lot of times we put so much emphasis on God's blessings that we forget about some of these other truths that are needed to be taught, praise God.
Amen.
And then so we get so caught up in all the things God desires to do for us, and He does desire to do great things for us, but we get so caught up in those and we forget about the fact that God loves every last one of those people out there as well and wants to do for them. So we got to keep them from going to hell. We've seen some videos, we've seen some testimony of people that have been there, and we see it's a horrible place, so we need to recognize that, praise God.
Amen.
But the other reason for this teaching that I'm giving you is due to the fact that you need to get a better picture of your Father. Because sometimes when people hear about hell and the horrors of hell, they begin to think that God is the one who created all that and made all that to happen. Let me share something with you. Well, turn with me to the foundation scripture, Matthew 25:41. And then I'll share this point with you. Hell was never, ever made for any human being. Praise God. And we saw last week that God, it breaks his heart. We saw through the scriptures. We saw through the Bible. It breaks God's heart, and he practically pleads with people not to go there. It's almost like he's begging people, come to me. Don't go to that place. That's how the extensive the love of God is. He does not want anybody going there. And somebody might say, well, but he's all powerful. He's almighty. He can do anything. Why won't he just stop people? Well, we're going to learn about that. But the basic thing is you got to understand that he will never, ever violate your will. He will never do that. But 25:41, it says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. How long is the fire?
Everlasting.
How long is it?
Everlasting.
Does it stop sometime?
No.
No, don't believe what I'm telling you. Now, I love my Seventh-day Adventist brothers and sisters. I think they're some wonderful people. But they have a doctrine of annihilation that I do not agree with at all. Don't believe that. There is no annihilation. You will continue to exist forever. And you will go to one or two places when you die. I prefer that you go to heaven, praise God. Because that's where I'm going. Amen. Or you will go to the other place that we're talking about, which is hell. It all depends on your relationship with Jesus Christ. There is no ultimate reconciliation where, you know, some people teach that you'll go to hell for a little while, but then, you know, once you straighten up down there, then God will pull you out of there and bring you to heaven. Nope. The Bible says, it is given unto man once to die,
yeah,
and after this, the judgment. There is no second chances. The only chance you have is in this life. It's never-ending torment. Hell is everlasting. It is eternal. There is no purgatory, as the Catholics teach. There is no, well, you die, and then if you pray the priest a couple of $1,000, then he can pray and do a rosary and get your loved one out of purgatory and into heaven. But if you don't pay, then bloop, the purgatory doors open and they drop you right into hell. No, that doesn't happen. There is no dead like a dog, as Hollywood likes to teach in their movies. The movies in Hollywood, they just, well, you know, you die, and once after that you're at peace, so you just don't exist anymore. No, that doesn't happen. You will be conscious forever. That's why people commit suicide. They believe that junk. And suicides have increased in this time, hasn't it? Mm-hmm. I mean, if you read the newspapers, I mean, just the other day, over in Europe, there was a woman who got a sex change operation and tried to become a man. But he looked so horrible that God made the person a woman. I don't know why, but anyway.
She.
So I'm just calling her she for the moment.
She
felt so horrible looking in the mirror that she decided, you know what, I can't live with this. So a doctor gave her what they call euthanasia and killed her because of mental distress. These are sad stories. Now, the sad thing is, she may think that once she was killed, it was done and over with. No, when she died, she went to hell. Should we rejoice at that? Oh, heck no. That is not something to celebrate. That's something for us to cry about, because somebody should have told her about Jesus.
Yes.
Somebody should have warned her. So that's why we have to talk about this. I know y'all get tired of some of these some teaching on this, but we've got to talk about this until we get it in our thick heads that this is some serious stuff. And that people are dying and going to this place every day. But just give me a little bit more time, and in a couple more weeks, I'll make y'all all happy and talk about how with all the wonderful things you're going to have when you get to heaven. Praise God.
Amen.
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 Amen. I'll even show you a video or two just to make you happy. Because there's some people that have gone to heaven. And, you know, Jesse Duplantis, he went to heaven. He's got a wonderful testimony of heaven. I love this testimony. Praise God. Amen. There was a book that we used to sell in the back, but it sold out, about a brother that went to heaven. That was one of the best books I ever read on the subject of heaven. I mean, man, he made me excited. I almost wanted to go there right away. But I'm not going. Don't worry. Don't worry. Pastor's going to be around here for at least another 50 years. Y'all need me. y'all need Pastor, so I'm going to be around for a little while. I know if nothing else, my kids need me, right? All right, but remember, what is hell? Hell is everlasting, praise God. But here's another point you need to see here in this passage. In 25:41 it says, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Say, hellfire was.
Hellfire was.
Prepared for.
Prepared for.
The devil.
And his angels.
Praise God. Now, well, technically speaking, the lake of fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. And we're going to get into nuance and technicality about this. First, there's hell. When a person dies, they go to hell. And this is all in Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 13. The person dies, they go to hell. And then after that, the white throne judgment, and Jesus is sitting on the white throne, and he's going to judge everybody for the works that they've done, whether they were good or evil. And anybody that goes before the white throne judgment, their works were pretty much evil, praise God. You that have accepted Jesus Christ already as your personal Savior, you will not be gone before the white throne judgment. You will be going before the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, which is basically, if you understand those Greek sports things, what they used to do was a judge would sit there, and after they did their sports competitions and stuff, then the judge would decide what place you won and the type of reward you get. That's what the judgment seat of Christ is for the saved person, praise God.
Amen.
So some of you will make it in, and you'll get before the judgment seat of Christ, and you won't get a thing, because you ain't do nothing for God. you'll barely make it in by the skin of your teeth. I don't understand why anybody wants to be like that. I don't know about you, but me, I don't understand that. Now me, I want rewards, praise God. I can't go throughout eternity and see all the great stuff you got, and then I'm looking at myself and like, well, at least I made it in. Y'all remember that last year we watched Pastor Park's video where there was a bunch of pastors and they was in a place in heaven. They made it into heaven, but they was in chicken coop heaven. They were sitting, these pastors, they had large churches, but they're sitting, but they're living the rest of eternity in warehouses. But then he took them past the house of John Wesley, the great evangelist, and John Wesley and D.L. Moody and men like that had these real big houses. Why? Because these men of God did great things for God. Praise God.
Amen.
So I don't, you know me, I don't know about you, but I don't want to live in a warehouse for the rest of eternity. Praise God.
Amen.
Now that's better than going to hell, if I had to choose between the two. But I want some stuff when I get to heaven. How about you? Amen. But that's not my motive for working for God. My main motive is because I've fallen in love with Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I love him so much. And I just don't want to see his heart broken. So fall in love with Jesus and you'll really begin to serve him and work for him. So as we understand it now, we saw last week that it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We saw that God desires nobody to die and go to hell, but that they would turn from their sins and live. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So, and then we saw last week that God cries. He cries over those who are lost. He cries over them. What a wonderful God. So why is there a hell? If God doesn't want anybody gone, why is there a hell? Well, because as we stated last week, Satan and his angels rebelled against God. Satan, well, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 14. Now, if you are in the academic world, you know, I know both Pastor Steve and my wife accuses me of sounding like a professor sometimes. But praise God. But if you are in the academic world, you will hear disputes over whether Satan was actually a fallen angel and if Isaiah 14 is actually a reference to Satan and all this other stuff. Forget the academics, praise God. Forget them and get into the Word of God. God would not create a devil, amen? Listen to me, y'all. God did not create a Satan. He did not create a devil. He did not create evil. He created a wonderful angel named Lucifer, or that's the Latin word. The English word means light bearer. He created a wonderful angel who bore the light, who manifested the character and image of God and to the other angels. And he was in such a high position. But what happened, and to make a long story short, is that he got into pride. And he decided that he, instead of being one of God's highest, he wanted to be the highest, praise God. Instead of being one of God's top angels, he wanted to be the most high himself. And so we go to Isaiah 14. You need to read this at home. Some of y'all have been to the classes where I taught on God's war against evil. And if you have the outlines on which I taught on the origin of Satan, study those out. If you don't, let me know. I'll print them out for you and get them to you. They'll be in the book form soon. You know, I got somebody working on the book cover. I'm waiting for the person to hurry up before I snatch that wig off her. All right. Get my book cover done. Praise God. All right. But look at verse 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? That word Lucifer means light bearer. Son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. I. See, you see somebody so caught up in himself, and he wanted to be like the Most High. That's nobody but the devil, praise God. He wanted to be like the Most High, and he said, I will. In other words, he set his will against God's will. Before that, there was only one will in the universe, and that was God's will. And God's will kept everything in peace and in harmony. Everyone was happy. Everyone was joyful. Creativity was constantly going on. There were and people were always in doing wonderful things and experiencing new things about God and new insights about God. I mean, it was just heavenly bliss. There was no evil, no hurt, no pain, no accidents. None of that stuff was happening until somebody decided that they wanted to set their will against God's will. Now, because God gives everybody freedom of choice, and simply because he wants to be loved voluntarily, praise God. Amen. He doesn't want to force love, and so he would not force Satan to love him. But he provided so much wonderful things that nobody should have went against him. He never did anything. God is a harmless God. He won't hurt people. He's got all powerful, and it is never his desire to hurt. It's his desire to love and cherish you. But we bring the hurt upon ourselves when we sin against him and separate ourselves from the life of God. Isn't that sad? And that's what Satan was doing what Lucifer was doing before he became a Satan. Satan means accuser, adversary. He became an adversary to God, and he no longer bore the light of God, thus his name changed. He became an adversary and an accuser, slandering God. That's what the word devil means, slandering. He slandered God, so he went around lying on God to the other angels that fell with him. He told lies on God. And see, that's why God hates slander so much. That's why God hates gossip so much. You go around and you talk bad about people and you gossip about people, and then you hurt their reputation. Many times what we're saying is not even true or half true, and we don't even have the whole story. Mm-hmm. But see, I want you to think about this. Think about a single woman. How many single women you got here? I see a couple of y'all. A few of y'all. So we got some single women. All three of you want the perfect husband, right? Y'all want the perfect husband. So what if I was to show you a catalog that had this mail-ordered husband? It's Android. And you can program him to do exactly what you want him to do. Have him programmed to fix you coffee in the morning and tell you how much he loves you. Tell you how beautiful you are. Tell you how good you smell. I mean, he'll tell you everything. And then you come home and he meets you at the door with flowers. Tells you how much he loves you. How beautiful you are. But he's programmed to do that. How long would that last with y'all? Is that what you want? You want a program robot to, or would you rather have somebody who really voluntarily loves you? So that's what God wanted, somebody who voluntarily loved him. Somebody, and that's what he wants with you. That's why he won't force people to get saved. That's why there's no universalism. He wants you saved by accepting what Jesus has done, but he wants you to do it voluntarily. Praise God.
Amen.
So now look at this. Verse 15, it says, "Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit." You see, sin and hell are universal laws. What happens is when you sin, when you go against God, when you separate yourself from the life of God, you automatically go to a place of separation from God. Praise God. Sin is like gravity. When you sin and you die, you automatically get pulled down into hell. So hell is waiting for those who do not accept Jesus as Savior. So why is there a hell? Why is there a lake of fire? Why is there eternal damnation? Why? It's not because God wants it. It's because people have decided they don't want God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And God, who he will beg you, he will plead with you, he will show, just like some of us do with our children. We try to show them, listen, this is wrong. If you know, our grown children, our young children, we can tell them, listen, you're going to do what I say. But now when they get grown, there's only so much you can do. You can't punish them, praise God. Mm-hmm. They're too big for you to be spanking, because they might spank you back.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I told my son, I said, you gotta sleep sometime. But anyway, we won't go there. If you try to convince them to do the right thing, but once they're an adult, they got their own choices, praise God.
Amen.
And they can. And you're trying to show them the right way, but if they go the wrong way, there's nothing you can do.
No.
There's nothing you can do. Now, it hurts you, it breaks your heart, but you can't stop them. If your child goes out and starts doing drugs after you done warned them, you done told them what was going to happen to them, but they say, but I like the feeling of the high. Mm-hmm. And then they just go out and get high. And they start smoking the crack pipes and stuff like that. Nothing you can do except continue to pray and intercede for them, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that you warned them, You told them what it's going to be like, and then sometimes, you know, like my own son did, he came, you know, I let him go for a while. I let him go out there. He came back home, he said, "Dad, I found out what it's like out there. It ain't fun." Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. So sometimes you got to let them go. But see, you got to let people have genuine choices. If I force somebody to stay home, if I tie them to their bed and say, "You're never leaving here." If I tie Terry to the bed, then y'all would think of me as some kind of crazy nut, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah, of course. Then don't think that God should have to tie people to him. God cannot force people. He could not force Satan, and he can't force you to do what he wants you to do. Praise God.
Amen.
That's why he gives you commandments. That's why he tells you to love one another. See, when you walk in the God kind of love, you never want to do him wrong, and you never want to do each other wrong. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. So why hell? Because people have turned away from God, and they have forsaken the life of God. Turn to Isaiah 28. Why hell? Why is there a hell? You know, I was talking to somebody via email the other day, and I told them if I was ever wrong about hell, nobody would be happier about it than me. If I was wrong that there's an eternal hell, I would be so happy, praise God.
Amen.
There's some things I'd like to be wrong about. There's some things I'd like to think maybe I misunderstood that. But I've studied this thing about hell for years. We're talking years, praise God. I've been in this thing, maybe not as long as many others, but you know, close to 30 years and studying this stuff. I know a little bit, praise God. Maybe not everything, but I know a little bit. And there's still more to learn. But I think I know enough about hell to know that I don't want to go there and I don't want nobody else to go there. Verse 15. Look at this. "Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement." Stop right there. Do you know what a covenant is? Most of you who are from Africa understand covenant, praise God. You understand it better than most of us Americans. See, Americans will sign a contract and then they'll take you to court to sue you and break it the next week. That's why, because of our lack of understanding of covenant, that's why there's so much divorce going on in America right now. People will divorce you in a hot rock minute because they don't understand covenant. "Well, you know, you just don't look as fine as you used to. I'm divorcing you." You know, that I don't care how ugly he gets. I don't care how fat he gets. He's still your husband, praise God.
Amen.
I don't care how, you know, now husband gets upset because the wife, he done made the wife have about 5 babies, and so she don't have the 8 figure that she used to have, and he wants to divorce her. Ain't that pitiful? That's pitiful. But people made a covenant with hell. Covenants are only broken when a new covenant is made, praise God.
Amen.
And so these people, and covenants usually can only be broken by death. Remember what the marriage vows say? "Until death do us part." And so the reason why God can't do anything about people who are going to hell is because most of them have made a covenant with death and with hell. By our actions, by our rejection of Jesus Christ, we are in covenant with hell and death. Praise God.
Amen.
Oh, but I like that. There's some good news in here. Go down to verse 18. It says, and talking about after what happens when God comes to the rescue, when Jesus Christ comes to save, he says, "And your covenant with death shall be disannulled." Praise God.
Amen.
"And your agreement with hell shall not stand." Glory to God.
Amen.
God will break the covenant of hell if you will turn to him. Praise God.
Amen.
He will, but you got to turn to him first. You got to turn to Jesus, and his death, his burial, his resurrection will give you the power, the right to become a son of God, and the covenant of hell will be broken, and you'll be released from that covenant. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, that's what y'all did when y'all came to Jesus Christ and made him your personal savior. You broke the covenant with hell. But see, that's why a lot of these people need to know that they are in covenant with hell. That's why as soon as they die, it's not that as soon as they die, God comes down and says, hey, you sinned against me, and throws them down there. No, when you hear the testimonies of people who have died and gone down there, it's like they come out of their body and automatically they go right down there. It's almost like they can't go nowhere else. They just, boom, fall right down into hell. See, remember the story of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke 16? We read that a couple weeks ago. Remember how when Lazarus died, the angels came and got him and took him straight to heaven. I mean, what took him to paradise at the time. But the rich man, he died, and then he opened up his eyes. He was automatically already there. Praise God. Mm-hmm. See, it's like a gravitational pull. It just pulls you down there if you don't know Jesus as Savior. If you know Jesus, then as soon as you die, the angels are waiting for you. Remember Pastor Park's testimony? He was on a bed, and he died of high blood pressure, but the angels were sitting there waiting for him and took him to heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Well, the angels will be waiting for you. But don't go nowhere too soon. We need you, all right? I know some of y'all, when y'all going to hear about heaven, you're going to be like, man, I'd love to go there. Well, God still needs you down here. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
All right. Let me show you a couple more things, then we're going to close. Now, I'm going to share something very controversial with you. But I'm going to show it to you from the Bible. Did God know that when he created man, that man would go to hell? That meant that more people would get saved than people who went to hell? I'm going to let you determine it. I'm going to show you some scripture, then you make up your mind. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 6. I'm going to show you something because this bothered me. When I first gave my life to Christ, this thing bothered me. There were some questions I had with God, and I couldn't understand why. If so many people are going to suffer in that place for all of eternity, and you knew about it, why did you do it in the first place? Why? Explain to me. It was over 20 years before I finally got my answer. But when I got the answer, I was a little bit afraid of the answer because I said, I don't know if I could preach this. People may not accept this. Well, I'm going to preach the word of God. You have to accept it or reject it. But I encourage you, as I always tell you, don't take what I say. Take what the word of God says. Praise God.
Amen.
If I give you scripture, I can't give you all the scriptures. Because there's more scriptures I can give you, but we got a very short amount of time, and I can't give you all the scriptures on this. So I'm going to give you a couple, and then you study it out, and you see whether Pastor Troy is right or wrong. I have an outline on this subject too. Three outlines on this subject that if you really are interested, come see me and I'll give them to you. We're going to put them up on the website soon anyway, but I'm waiting for somebody to finish my cover. I didn't mention any names, Terry. Anyway, all right. Genesis chapter 6, let's look at verse 5. This is talking about before Noah and the flood that came. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping things and the fowls of the air. For it repented me that I have made them. The word repented can mean, when you translate it, it means I'm sorry that I made them. I regret that I ever made them. Let me ask you a question. If God knew this was going to happen, would he, if God knew, let me rephrase the question. Can you regret something that you knew beyond an absolute doubt was going to happen in the first place? Think about it. Can you regret something that you absolutely knew was going to happen? Can you regret having done it? All right, let me show you another scripture. I'm not going to answer it for you. You answer that for yourself. If you want the answer, if you want my answer, come Tuesday night on the Bible study and I will give you my answer. If you don't come Tuesday night, you won't get my answer. We're going to look at three scriptures in Jeremiah and we're going to close out. But ask yourself, can you regret something that you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt was going to happen? You knew the consequences of the action that you took. But now you regret it. Jeremiah chapter 7. Look at verse 31. If nothing else, I'll have y'all studying your Bibles for sure. 31. All right. Now this is God speaking here through Jeremiah. He says, and they have built the high places of Tophet, which is in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to burn their sons and their daughters in the fire, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my heart. If God knew that they were going to do this, then why would he say it never came into my heart that they would do it? You can answer that question for yourself. Can you say that something never came into your heart that you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt was going to happen? Can you say, wow, I knew this was going to happen, but it never came into my heart that it would happen? Think about it. That sounds illogical. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 19. I'm telling you, take boldness to share some of this stuff with y'all, because I know some of y'all are like, I ain't buying what you're selling, Pastor. But don't buy what you write. Don't buy it. Just look it up yourself. All right. Jeremiah 19, verse 5. They have built also the high places of Baal to burn their sons with fire for burnt offerings unto Baal, which I commanded not, nor spake it, neither came it into my mind. Now, if you knew that somebody was going to do something, can you say that it never came into your mind? Can you legitimately say that? What was that, Morris?
It came in your mind.
If it came into your mind because you knew it, right?
Yeah.
But if it never came into your mind, you didn't know it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is God talking. Let's look at one more passage of scripture. Hopefully this is, if nothing else, this is going to stir y'all up to do the study. To really read your Bibles. Because I told you, don't believe nothing unless it's in the Bible, praise God. And don't believe nothing unless you got more than one scripture. Because somebody, you can easily build a doctrine from one scripture. That's what the Jehovah's Witnesses do. They take a bunch of scriptures and throw them together and say, see, Jesus is not God. Let me tell you something, baby, Jesus is God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is just as much God as the Father and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
There's actually people that will take the Bible to prove that the Bible is not the Word of God. It's ridiculous. All right. 32, verse 35. And they built the high places of Baal, which are in the valley of the son of Hinnom, to cause their sons and their daughters to pass through the fire unto Molech, which, listen to this, which I commanded them not, neither came it into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Now, if what the Israelites did, if it never came into God's mind, could he have known it? And then ask yourself, could a good God, could a God who's loving and kind, create man with full knowledge that man would, that most of them, that 90% of them, because remember Jesus said that the road, there's many, the road to heaven is very narrow. He said, but the way to hell is broad. And when he talked about heaven, he said, there's few that find right road. There's few that find that narrow road. But yet, the way to hell is broad. And he said, many go down that road. So why would God create with full knowledge that all these people, the majority of people that ever lived, would burn in hell? And why would his heart be constantly broken because people are going there if he had full knowledge of it? Those are questions you need to ask yourself. See, I asked those questions. Those questions got resolved for me, praise God. And that's why I can worship God. That's why I know he's such a good God. And that's why I understand better now that how an all-powerful, almighty God who can do anything, but yet because of his love and his holiness, he can't stop people from making certain choices without violating his nature, his own love and his own nature, praise God. See, I now come to understand that. And I've come to have a better picture of my Father. I've come to love him more because of this. I've come to embrace him more. I can go before him now and not be afraid of him because I know now that he's looking out for my best interest, praise God. But I also know that if I sin against him, he's not sitting there saying, yeah, I knew you was gonna do that. But he's hurt by my sins, praise God.
Amen.
Sometimes he's even shocked by the way I'm treating him. And so I've come to the place where I don't want to sin. Because just like it would hurt my wife if I went out and messed around with another woman, it would hurt my God to do the same thing, praise God.
Amen.
That's why God can be hurt by you. God has made himself that vulnerable. He loves you so much. And he's made himself vulnerable. Does it take away from God's omnipotence? No. Does it take away from God's wisdom? No. Does it take away from God's power? God is all-knowing. But he doesn't have to know things that are not created, praise God. Or that are not in existence, let me put it that way. But God can know everything that's knowable. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Stand to your feet. Praise God. I'm glad y'all was blessed by that. I was scared to teach on this today. I said, man, I don't know if I should even bring this up. But why don't we pray? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, we thank you. We bless you and we praise you in the name of Jesus for everything you've done. Father God, I ask that you would bless your people. Lord, let the word sink into their hearts. Father God, let it take root and residence in them in the precious name of Jesus. Father God, let them use this word to go out and share it with others. I bless you in the name of Jesus. Does anybody need prayer for anything? Then let's close out. Lift your right hand.
Glory to God. Say this with me. Say, Father God.
Father God.
Thank